is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire of the Lord in the beauty of his temple. And then that finishes up and it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But one thing you've got to do, you've got to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Amen. We have been blessed. We have been blessed again to be able to share with you again at Shiloh. And I first came here, I believe the fourth anniversary. I came with our pastor, Reverend Richmond Brown, and Reverend Yolanda Henry. I just came. I was like the man Friday. I was just along for the ride. And the pastor preached at that fourth anniversary, and we are keep him up in prayer and our church up in prayer as we try to keep moving forward and serving the King. So you heard all that long introduction. If I ever come up again, let's not do that long introduction again. Just we thank you for that introduction, and we thank everything that has went on in this service. And as Deacon Hicks got ready to pray, the two deacons who are here in the pulpit, they could probably testify to one thing, that my hands are very cold. I don't know if that's just the weather or I am a little nervous. I don't know, but we are blessed to be here. This trip, I had never been in the snow before. As they said, born and bred in L.A. So I wasn't looking to get to any snow. I didn't take any snow trips. People went to the snow. I said, that's all right. I'll stay here. But I was blessed to, I can take that off my bucket list now. I've been in the snow. But we were blessed, and I didn't do too much on this trip. I got off on Thursday. I'm off all next week on the job, so I just wanted to rest. So some of us went out to the King of Prussia Mall yesterday, but I just stayed in and rested. I only left the hotel except to come to Shiloh one time. One time did I leave, and that was to make a drive to Walmart. Now normally, Deacon Hicks, who's sitting on my right, and gave the prayer, is the one that usually goes with me when we make our trips and taking someone somewhere. But this time, Deacon Hicks chose not to go. So I was left with James Sneed, the other man on our trip, beside Brother Roper. And I found out something. You get a little wisdom on the trip. I've learned, never have James Sneed as riding shotgun. He had the directions on how to get to Walmart and could not communicate them. He had me taking a right and a left at the same time. So we did a complete circle. I said, I think we're back where we started. So, you know, Paul had Silas and Elijah had Elisha. and Moses had Joshua, but I wound up with James Sneed. But we are going to pray that that never happens again. Matter of fact, I know it will never happen again. Amen. But we're here, we want to thank, we want to just thank you. We began coming here because your pastor, we have a lot of love for him. As is stated before, he came out of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church. And we came and beginning fellowship just wanted to show our support to him. But now we come because we just love Shiloh. You treat us so well. We get picked up at the airport, and brought here. We eat when we get off the plane, and you got the chairman of the deacon board in the kitchen. Man, then you got Deacon Green is taking us around, and we started joking. We went to the diner that we got to get the chairman of the deacon board, Deacon Weber, to have some pull in L.A. Deacon Green just went in, knew everybody, talking to everybody at the table, got us seated. They didn't even need a host. Amen. But we thank you again, Shiloh. We thank you for everything. We just love you. And we're not really, as they said, visitors anymore. We just come. We thank you for the 17 of us that did come this year. Next year we'll probably have more because that's somewhere on the every other year. But we want to encourage you, those that have not been to Los Angeles, we want to encourage you. Deacon Green is saying he's going to come every year, but he ain't made it yet. we're going to stay on it, but we want you to just come to Los Angeles so we can guarantee you some warm weather, no snow. Amen. Summertime, it'll be night, and we will take care of you as you took care of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are here, and we know that we came here not to just talk. We came here to bring a word. So we definitely want to bring forth the word, and we don't want to keep you long. They know how long I preach at Holy Light. And they probably are saying, don't get out here in New Jersey and get carried away and stay up longer than you normally preach. Amen. So we have a word for you, those that have their Bibles. And we have a message for you. And I wanted to tailor, this is a message I've actually preached before, but we have adjusted it up. They told me in Bible college, when you go preach somewhere, go preach to those people at that church. Don't be preaching about something that don't have nothing to do with them. You know. So we're gonna bring the message, we're gonna tailor the message, but this is a message that is for Shiloh, for Holy Light, can be used for anyone that is wants to build up the body of Christ and become stronger in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Those that can ask to stand to their feet. You don't have to worry about me, the technology ministry. I don't move a lot. I was here Thursday and Friday, and Elder Raymond Broach was everywhere. That man was moving. I couldn't keep up with him. And then on Friday, the Reverend Dr. Corey Jones brought a powerful message. And he was shaking and moving, but I found out he's 31 years old. So you ain't gonna see all that movement from me. Because I gotta get back on a plane tomorrow. Getting back to L.A., amen? So I'm going to be in a radius here. Don't expect me to move too much. Those that have their Bibles, turn to the book of Nehemiah. The first chapter. And we're going to begin at the fifth verse. Nehemiah, first chapter, the fifth verse. And it reads, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayers of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And if you please, just go to the 6th chapter. I have one verse to read from there. The 6th chapter of Nehemiah. And let's read from the 3rd verse. And it says, I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his most holy and precious word. Amen. You may be seated. The word, the subject that we have for you today is to stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come now, we thank you again for another opportunity to stand before these your people. Lord, we know that it is a most solemn duty. Yes, sir. But we ask that I might decrease so that you might increase. Let ears be open, let minds be open to take in your word, and not only take it in, but to take it out to a world that needs to know that there is a God that sits high and looks low. A God that can make a change in your life if you only come and accept Christ as your Savior. In the name of Jesus, we do always pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. This book of Nehemiah, the central fact of what is going on here is Nehemiah has been asked and been requested to come forward, to come back and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that had been torn down. And when you look at this 6th chapter, I read you that 3rd verse. When I preached this before, I preached this only from the 6th chapter. And the message was just dealing with the wall and restoring the wall. But as I studied this and I came knowing I was coming to Trent to speak on a pastor's appreciation or a pastor's anniversary, there are two elements here in Nehemiah that is important to the leader or the pastor, but it's also important to everyone else that is in the body of Christ. See, this is not a individual thing. The pastor cannot do everything. Unless maybe there's two members in the church, and then possibly He can do everything. But in any body of Christ, the pastor is limited in what he can do, but what he can do by being the leader is he can energize the body of Christ. So that's why I wanted us to look at not only the end of the story. But see, I came up in Holy Light, and Pastor Brown, and I went to classes, and Pastor Brown always said, don't pick out individual scriptures and stop there. You've got to go back and read what led up to getting to the situation. The wall just didn't get repaired any kind of way. There were some things, there's some preparation that has to be made. There's probably some here today that need to make some preparation. You've been coming to church, you've been coming, you've been sitting in the pews, but you haven't moved out forward from just coming and sitting. Some of us have maybe moved into ministries, but haven't totally given themselves to that ministry. They're still partially out here in the world and haven't partially brought themselves into the ministry. So what is happening here with Nehemiah is, that's why I went back to talk about that first chapter. Because see, God is, that God, soon as you make that decision to come to Christ, Satan is going to begin to work on you. Don't think that just because you come to Christ, everything is going to be all right. It's going to be, but there's got to be some preparation in it. Satan is going to come every way he can. So in reading that sixth chapter, it starts talking about Geshem and Tobiah and Sanballat, and one was a Horonite and one was an Ammonite. And you know in the Bible, when you start getting into those ites, you got problems. Whether they be Amalekites or Jebusites or Horonites or ites are problems. You know, even today we got problems with ites. Our house looks like it might be, you know, okay, everything looks well on the outside, but there's termites. We can't really see them, but they're there, and eventually you got to do something to take care of the termites. And I was a big comic book fan, and Superman was the baddest man in comics. But the only thing that could slow him down was kryptonite. So the ites are still out there in the church today. They're still in the church. We got the backbites. Yeah, they're still in the church. We got the Eliminites. Yeah, they just want to eliminate you. I know that wasn't in the dictionary, but they're there. Yeah. We got the Elites. They ain't so up here that they can't, you can't do nothing with them. So we got all these ites in the church. We got ites in, pick up the comic book, there's ites. So the scripture tells us Nehemiah had to get ready to be able to do that great work. Said it was a great work. But Nehemiah had to get himself ready. So there was four things that Nehemiah had to do to get himself ready. And it was in those verses in the first chapter that I read you. First of all, read that fifth verse. I'm going to stay pretty much on scripture here. Like I said, I came up under Pastor Brown. Pastor Brown didn't go too far from scripture. If you did, he'd start pulling your coat. The fifth verse says, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. I'm reading from King James. We can change that terrible to awesome. Let's just stop there. So the first thing you've got to do when you come to God is you've got to recognize who God is. You got to recognize the character of God. You just can't come to God any kind of way. You got to come. You can see in the scripture it says that he came and said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. See, God just didn't become awesome recently when they started making songs about awesome God. You know, I know he's awesome now, and he can move mountains, and he can keep me in the valley, and he can hide me from the rain. But he was still awesome back when Nehemiah was going to God. He still said he was awesome. So when you go to God, think about the Lord's Prayer. Now we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the model prayer. And in Matthew 6:9, when Jesus is telling them how to come to the Father, it says, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Before you even got to the rest of the prayer, you had to say who God is. He's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Holy is his name. So the first thing we got to do is come to God and identify and be sure that we let him know who he is. See, don't ever think that you are above going to God. Some prayers are not getting anywhere. You know, God, look, I need this right here. I need to get this car right now. I need this money right here. Now, God, you ain't even reverenced him yet. Help me win this lottery, God. I don't know if you can do that, but certain things you shouldn't. They talked about that the other day. Certain things we shouldn't be praying for. You're praying amiss. That's why it's not getting answered. So the first thing is you have to recognize the character of God. Now let's go on a little further in that prayer. It says that thou let thine ear, let's go to verse number 6. It says, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. See, the second thing we need to do is when we go to God, we want to get prepared for a great work. We have to repent of our personal and corporate sins. See, sometimes we want to go to God and we want to pray about everybody else's problems. But we don't want to put ourselves in it at all. But see, we got to be part of that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know I got a nice robe on and I got a nice suit and tie and all of that, but I done sinned too. Reverend Armstrong is a good man, but he's fallen short too. So when you come to God, think about when the publican and the Pharisee came. They had the publican came and the Pharisee came, and all he was praying about was what was wrong with the publican. He's been a publican, done this, he done that, he done this, and I'm just a good old Pharisee. But when you pray, you need to pray like that publican who just came and said, I'm just a sinner. I'm just saved by grace. And Jesus came and said, which prayer do you think God heard? See, you got to come to God in a way in which you recognize that you are not all that in a bag of chips. Something has happened along the way in which you have fallen short. And you need to go to God. And before you can do a great work for God, you got to realize that you got to go and pray and repent and get yourself right. How can you lead somebody if you are all wrong? So Nehemiah knew that. And so Nehemiah went and he prayed not only for the people of Israel, but he prayed for himself as well. Because he knew the work was great. The third thing is, let's go a little further in the scriptures. It says in verse 7, it goes and says that we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments. But now number 8 is the key word. It says, remember. In other words, we've done all this. We've done all this wrong. We've done all this. But now, God, I'm asking you that you remember. I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But, when there's a but, it's getting better. If ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out of the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather thee from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen you. So when you go to God, you're recognizing that God will do what he said he was going to do. So all you've got to do is make a change and ask God to remind him of his promise. That if we make a change in our life, that he will bring us back. Think of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. Remember when Solomon in the temple was built? And God said to Solomon, he said, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and turn and seek you and turn from their wicked ways, I will forgive them and forgive their sin and heal their land. God will keep his promise. All you got to do is make a change in your life. Nehemiah knew that the God that he served, if he just went to him and repented and said that, God, we know that we've done wrong, but you can lead us back into the place that we need to be. So you got to do those three things. But the fourth thing is the key thing, and that's what the whole first chapter of these scriptures is all about, is you've got to pray. You've got to get on your knees and pray. And when you pray, you need to pray and let God realize that you are coming for a specific purpose. You might be able, your prayer might be just a few minutes. It's not the time factor that's important. Your prayer might be of a few words. The words are not that important. The key is, are you coming sincerely in prayer? You can pray all night and all day, and that prayer ain't went nowhere because you haven't been sincere about your prayer. So Nehemiah asked and said, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servant, so that now, God, I need to be somewhere that it doesn't look like I can get there. Because, see, he's dealing with, when you read, just go home and read all those chapters. We don't have enough time to go through all of them, because you'll be carrying me out of here. But read through those 1 through 6. But you'll see what's happening here is that the king, Nehemiah, has to deal with the king in which he is the cupbearer. So Nehemiah had a good job. Cupbearer was a pretty good job. You know, you had to, well, every once in a while you had to drink something that might be some poison in it, but that was a little risky. But that was a close job to the king. But he knew that to go to the king, he needed God. He needed the King of Kings to deal with the earthly king. He just didn't go to the king just any kind of way. I'm just going to the king. I couldn't got a week and a half on my job off if I didn't go to my supervisor and say, hey, I'm doing this, but she already knows. This is that Trenton trip, huh? But you've got to go to someone that can make it possible for you to be able to do it. But if you just look at Nehemiah did not, after this prayer, he didn't go to the king and make a request to the king that he wanted to go. Nehemiah waited on the Lord. See, some of us get a little ahead of the Lord. We want to move a little too quickly. Nehemiah waited on the Lord, but it was one day. In that second chapter, that first verse, it says, Nehemiah, the king saw Nehemiah looking sad and couldn't figure out why Nehemiah had such a sad look on his face. But Nehemiah had a sad look because he wanted to go and help his people rebuild that wall. And he had a king in between him and being able to go out. But the king saw on his face that he was sad, and the king asked him. See how God works? He didn't even have to ask or make a plea to the king. The king asked him first, why are you so sad? You know, you got a good job here. Things are going well. You got a little money in your pocket. What are you so sad about? And then what happened was he told him, he said, back in my homeland, things are falling apart. The wall has been torn down and our enemies can come attack us, and I really need to go there. But see, if you really go deeper into your scriptures, that same king had stopped the rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah knew that. So Nehemiah knew he was dealing with somebody that probably didn't want him to go at all. But once he came, God, this is how God works. God starts working on the king. And the king goes, well, let's look and see. What can I do to help you? What is it you need? He said, well, I need some letters to get by this person. I need another letter to get by this person. I need some timber to get start getting things built. I need that. And the king starts writing letters out. The king that had stopped the rebuilding, the same king who had stopped the rebuilding the walls, now writing letters to Nehemiah to go to get to the place he needs to get to. See, God, we don't know how God works. God, it might be some place that you want to get, and you're trying to get there one way, but God might get you there another way. So, in these verses, and then the third chapter, it starts talking. So, they get there, and they start building the wall. And this is where you come in. I'm leaving the pastor now. This is where the body of Christ comes in. See, the leader done got himself ready now. Armstrong does all these other things, but I bet you he can't build no wall. So he needs some other people that can build. And when you go to that third chapter, see, most people get scared of that third chapter because it just got a bunch of names in there. Preachers don't even like to read that third chapter when it starts giving names and this name and this name. But there's something key in all those names is all those people were working together side by side. They were all working together as one unit. One wasn't concerned about, one was working on the sheep gate. One was doing some minor repairs. They were all working together to build a wall. See, they must have had, there's different types of Christians. This is another sermon I preached. There's different types of Christians. We know that in the church. We got all types. We got the question mark Christians. The question mark, we don't know when they're going to show up. They might be here this Sunday, but we might not see them the fourth Sunday. They might say they're going to do this job, but they may not show up when it's time to do the job. They're question mark Christians. But we got other types of Christians. We got period Christians. And period Christians, they have done all their work. You probably done heard it. I done work in the church for 30 years. And I'm tired now. It's time for them young folks to start working. So I'm done, period. I'm through working. It's time for them young folk to do some work, period. So we got the question mark periods, and we got the period Christians, and then we got the dangerous Christians, is the hyphenated Christians. They the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde Christians. They are just friendly one day. You go to them the next day, and boy, they will almost run you out of church. You don't know what side they're going to be on one day or the next. But see, in that third chapter, they didn't have any of them type of Christians working on the wall. See, what they had was comma Christians. See, comma Christians, you know how the commas work in punctuation. We got some school teachers in here. The commas, they got a comma, and it just keeps going and going. They do this work, and there's some more work to be done, and they're going to do that work. They're not going to worry about brother so-and-so didn't do it or sister so-and-so did it. I'm just going to go and work on that. There's just more work. And the church really runs among the common Christians. They're everywhere. They might be singing a praise song, and then they may be, the next time you'll see them up, they might be ushering. Then they're up in the choir. They're everywhere, comma Christians. And so in that third chapter, Nehemiah found him some comma Christians to work on that wall. So now we got the work going, but I told you this was going to happen. When something good starts happening, there comes Satan. Satan ready now because I got to stop this. They can't get this wall finished. So this is where them ites come in. The ites are now working, and the ites are starting to think, how can we stop these Christians? So we got the Christians on one side, and we got the ites. And the ites come in two ways. Now, the ites come like a roaring lion. That's the way the Bible says they come. Satan comes like a roaring lion, seeking who he might devour. And you know a lion is a big animal, dangerous animal, and you can see him coming. But there's some other type that go come to you like the lion. You don't see them as clear. They come as like angels of light. They looking good. They telling you something. They in church every Sunday, but they ain't leading you the right direction. So you got two types you're dealing with. So that's the way they came to Nehemiah. First time they came to him and they said, hey, look, Nehemiah, why don't you come down? Because that wall can't get built. You know, you're just wasting your time. But Nehemiah just kept tacking and just working on the wall. And when they come to him, he said, I just got to keep working. That's what we find in that sixth chapter. They done come to him now. They want him to get off the wall. And they've come to him already one way to get him off the wall. They couldn't get him off the wall. Then they came. Now they came with the angel of light. They came a different way. Read further in that sixth chapter. It says they came to him and they said, Nehemiah, is dangerous for you to keep working on that wall. There's people trying to get you. Didn't say it was them. But look how they do it. Look how they do it. They take him. They say, Nehemiah, we're going to take you to the temple. We're going to take you to the temple. It's safe in God's house. So let's come with us to the temple and we'll reason and counsel together in the temple. And we can come to a conclusion. We can talk about this. And Nehemiah is a man of God now, and he's got some ability of discernment. You know, a good leader has some ability of discernment. Armstrong has some ability of discernment. Amen? So when they came to Nehemiah, he had this discernment. Oh, this ain't right. Something ain't right here. He said, I'm just the governor of the city. Now, to get into the temple, it's only priests they usually let in the temple. You know, you start thinking about here now, why are they asking me to go? They've never asked me before to go into the temple. Something ain't right here. You remember that song, something, that was Keith Sweat, something just ain't right. So it just ain't right. You know, I think what I'll do is just stay on this wall and keep working on this wall. But what I'll do is, because I think it is a little dangerous. They done come at me this way, they come at me that way. We're going to have to take some people off working on the wall. And we're going to have to get some people to do some watching. You know, the Bible says watch as well as pray. So now we got some watchers with me. They got a little weapon now. So they standing there, and now they got a sentry. And the Bible says that they just work continually. If you go deep into the scripture, it says they didn't even take their clothes off unless it was just to wash their clothes. They didn't go home and just, they didn't go home like take a shower or anything. They just, hey, take these and give me these and we got to keep working. So they kept working. So the key here is to stay on the wall. No matter what the situation, no matter what we're dealing with, is to stay on the wall. Don't abandon the work of the Lord. Stay on the wall. Because God's work is more important than any other work that anybody might lead you to. So we need to stay on the wall. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and flee from him. Get away from the devil. Draw closer to God and he will draw closer to you. Get closer to God. So the first thing is don't abandon the work. Stay on the wall. But you know another reason to do it is you don't abandon the right way. When you're on the right narrow way, when you're on that narrow way, stay on that way. Don't go on the broad way and the highways that lead to destruction. Stay on the narrow way. Nehemiah knew I got to stay up here and keep working on this wall. Because he knew if he left, they went after the leader first. They didn't go after anybody else working on the wall. If we can get the leader away, we can take care of the rest of them. See, they didn't know that they might have not had a Deacon Green or a Deacon Poole
that might have still been there on the wall if they got the leader. But see, you got to stay. Don't abandon the right way. But then the other thing is, don't abandon your witness. Because if we leave our work on the wall, there's nobody to see us. Our light needs to shine before men, that they see our good works. That's how we glorify our Father in heaven, by staying on the wall. And the fourth thing that we need to do, and it's clear, is we need to don't abandon the welfare of the sinner. Man, there are some people out here. I came out here. We heard on the drive over, there's been a lot of shootings in the area, a lot of killings, been a lot of funerals here and things like that. Well, we need to stay on the wall because we need to realize that there are people out there that need us. So I told you I will not be here long. I just came to give you a little short little word. But as we leave, I want you to let Shiloh know, let Holy Light know, wherever you serve, stay on the wall. Ushers, stay on the wall. Because you might not get a smile from anybody that comes through that door. You might keep smiling, but there's somebody coming through that door that needs to see a smile and a greeting from an usher. So you just stay on that wall. There is those that sing in the choir. Stay on the wall. It doesn't matter if you get a lead or not. Maybe God has given you just to be a background singer. But that's all right. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall because there's somebody out there that needs to hear a song of praise. There's somebody out there that needs to hear a word in a song that touches their heart. To those that work with the children's ministry, Minister Weiss and the others, stay on the wall. There's children out there that are going in the wrong direction. There's children out there that are killing each other. And they don't have nowhere to go. They may not have a mother in the home or have a father in the home, but you stay on the wall. You stay on that wall because there's someone that needs your help in helping them become a young man or a young woman. The deacon, stay on the wall. The Bible says that a deacon is, the meaning is to serve. So just stay on the wall. Support your pastor. Support your church. When there's somebody that comes and needs a helping hand, be there to help them. Trustees, stay on the wall. The money that you brought into the church can be used, I heard, is used for missionary work. There's people out there, out beyond these walls, that need help. So stay on the wall. And when you stay on the wall, you'll be blessed. You might not get it all down here. You may not get a nice introduction. You may not get words of praise down here. But you'll get it on high. Because I got a God that sits high and looks low. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. And he came down and he went on the wall. He left a good and safe place to go and get on and working on the wall. But I know a man over 2,000 years ago that came down from heaven who was sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he came down and came through 42 generations. And I'm so glad that he did. I'm so glad that he didn't get off the wall when they talked about it, when they lied on him, when they spat on him. He stayed up on that cross. See, that cross was his wall. So I'm telling you today, stay on the wall. My Lord and my Savior, he stayed on the wall, but that wasn't the end of the story. Because it was 3 days later, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. So if you don't need to know anything else, stay on the wall because our Lord and Savior stayed on the wall. It might be a hard time sometimes. People might come after you sometimes. People might say that you're just trying to do everything. But don't worry about it because there is a God that sits high and looks low, that is recording everything that you do. So stay on the wall, Shiloh. Stay on the wall and let the Lord continue to bless you. We got work to do. Let's stay on the wall. Amen. Thank you.